Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Ohio State looked like the most impressive college football team left in a 41-21 win over the Rose Bowl against Oregon. Jeremiah Smith had a great game for the Buckeyes, finished with a couple of touchdowns, including one in the second quarter that I thought really put the game away.
See if they take a shot here. Howard looking to launch right down the middle. Smith is wide open. Too easy. And number four cannot be stopped so far.
Audio courtesy of ESPN, Daryl. Ohio State obviously has a lot of really talented players. They've racked up several top five recruiting classes if you're into stars mattering. I don't think that there's a better player on that team right now than freshman wide receiver Jeremiah Smith.
He might be the first overall pick in this year's draft if he was eligible. That's how good he is. Generational talent. Very rarely do you see a freshman dominate the way he does. It is.
I would argue never. Not very rarely. Like, I can't think of a freshman that has dominated the way that he has ever.
As a wide receiver, or just
ever. I mean, any position. I can't
I've seen
think
some
of
freshman
one.
Running backs, right?
Not to those this level, guys. Though. Like you, because the other name that pops up is Maurice Claret, right? Like,
yeah, for we Ohio think State of
when he played for Ohio State the year they won the national championship and beat Miami, he was awesome. He wasn't this. He was not this.
I'm just waiting for Jeremiah Smith to do the Heisman pose after catching a touchdown or smoking some fool. Like, he's going to win it.
I have to think he's going to be, if not the odds-on favorite to win it next year, he's going to be very high up on those preseason lists that we all get sent to our inbox probably in 3 weeks as soon as the season ends with the national championship game. Jeremiah Smith's going to be right at the top of that list, especially because he's going to be playing next year with a guy who's not an established quarterback, and we already know what Jeremiah Smith is. I've never seen anything like it.
I'm just grateful that Chip Kelly remembered that Jeremiah Smith was on the team and they threw the football to him.
Well, against Michigan, he did not remember Jeremiah Smith was on the team.
Hence why I said that. Thanks for rubbing that in.
Would Ohio State be where they are right now if they would have beaten Michigan?
I mean, it's hard for me to say something like that, but I know that you're a sum of your experiences. This team has had great wins this season. It's had some tough losses. We have learned from those. Ultimately, it comes down to our guys. I just keep going back to that because these guys are resilient. And, you know, we're at a place where you can hear a lot of noise, but they didn't do that. I'm very, very proud of our staff. I'm very, very proud of our players, but we're far from done.
I think that loss to Michigan woke something up in that team.
I don't know if it's Ryan Day. I mean, it was the end of the world. It was the apocalypse.
I don't think if they would have beaten Michigan, say that Jack Sawyer interception turns into a field goal drive where Ohio State's field goal kicker makes a couple of kicks during the game that were pretty makeable kicks. I think they lose that game yesterday. I think that they don't beat Oregon, certainly not in the fashion that they beat Oregon without losing to Michigan.
It feels like they're refocused and they're now motivated.
It does. It. They feel like, and this is why I talked about this in the first segment. I didn't feel like, I always knew they were good enough, like had enough talent to win a national championship this season. I never had a doubt about that with this roster. But in watching them play throughout the season, they never looked like a national championship team until the Tennessee game at the earliest, certainly last night's game. The other game that happened last night, more entertaining than Ohio State, Oregon, was Texas and Arizona State because the Longhorns could not put away the Sun Devils.
Third and eight, Leavitt. That ball's intercepted! It is intercepted! Makuba seals it! Hook 'em horns! They're headed home to Texas to play in the Cotton Bowl!
Ohio State will now play Texas in the national semifinal in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl on Friday, January 10th. Audio courtesy of ESPN there. And Daryl, what Texas did yesterday, they looked really impressive at the start, obviously, and then they failed to put Arizona State away in that game. I don't know how I feel about Texas's chances against Ohio State, but I do think if you're an Ohio State fan, after watching that, you have to be pretty excited. What stood out to you about the Longhorns and their win yesterday?
Well, I mean, it was lightning right out of the gate. Before you blinked, it was 14-0. And then you blink again, and the thing's headed to overtime.
Right.
And then it goes to the second overtime. So, what stood out to me, you know, the explosiveness that Texas possesses, but also at the same time taking the foot off the gas. Ohio State didn't take the foot off the gas against Oregon a little, you know.
I think they both did, but...
In some respects, they did, but, like, I'm talking scoreboard-wise.
So, with the difference between Ohio State and Texas yesterday was Ohio State did allow Oregon a little bit back into that game.
In the third quarter, I got a little nervous. I'm not going to lie.
34-15. They had a 3rd-and-8, and what happens is Ohio State's best player, Jeremiah Smith, steps up and makes a big catch on 3rd-and-8 to give a first down. And I think Ohio State went and scored on that drive, and that really finished the game off. Texas never had a play like that. This was a game. So I went to a golf simulator yesterday with one of my friends. We were watching. It was during the Texas-Arizona State game. So we were watching, and our time at the simulator ended at 3, so I was driving home during a good chunk of that third quarter. Wasn't listening to the game, obviously wasn't watching the game while I was driving, but then I get home, I had a couple of things I needed to work on in getting prepped for today's show, and I flip it on, and it's a tie game.
Yeah.
And should that kid for Texas have gotten thrown out for targeting? Should Texas's kicker have made one of the field goal attempts that he had? Probably to all of those things. It was an incredibly entertaining game, but I've got more confidence in Ohio State beating Texas after watching that game. I felt like whoever won the Rose Bowl was going to win the national championship because of how that game specifically played out.
Yeah, and you know, again, it's a lesson to teams when you get them down, keep them down.
Right.
Do never let a team get off the mat. And I got nervous with Ohio State that they might let the Ducks off the mat in the third quarter. And like you said, leave it to the best player on the team to make the play. Okay, everyone can exhale, and then you know the Buckeyes able to push away. Whereas Texas, they just got caught up in it in the fourth quarter. You know, Arizona State was able to rally and force overtime. If anything, Texas should be breathing a sigh of relief because the way that game started
would have been an all-time choke job.
Yeah, I thought for sure that's how the Ohio State score is how I thought that game was going to end.
That's how it should have ended. That's how the scores should have been relatively identical. But Texas didn't. Texas struggled to put Arizona State away. Ohio State had no issue like that with Oregon. Over to Berea, where, Daryl, you spent a good chunk of your New Year's Day. The Browns take on the Ravens Saturday at 4:30. And we don't know who's going to start a quarterback. Not even the quarterbacks know.
I mean, I don't know if he's going to get mad, but I mean, I was in New England for 2 years, and Bill kept everything secret. So sometimes I wouldn't find out till like Thursday night, Friday, like, hey, just so you know, you're playing on Sunday. So I'm used to it. I just prepare like I usually prepare, whether I'm the 3 or the 1. And that's what he taught me whenever I was there, so I'm going to keep doing that.
That's Bailey Zappe, who could be, Daryl, I believe the 40th different quarterback to start a game since the Browns returned to action in 1999 on Saturday afternoon. Quite a stat there.
QB 40. Can't wait. I'm actually kind of on pins and needles to find out who that's going to be.
No, you're not.
No, QB 40.
Oh, QB 40. It's going to be Bailey Zappe. It's going to be Bailey Zappe on Saturday in Baltimore against the Ravens. Calling my shot now. I feel very strongly about that. Who is your favorite of the five? I can't say week 17 because obviously the NFL is added. But throughout the years, there have been some pretty remarkable quarterbacks to start the final game of the season for the Browns. Daryl, who is your favorite that you've covered? Because you've covered all of them.
Well, let's see here. Bruce Gradkowski comes to mind. That's an all-timer. Not nearly as good as Joe Thomas having to introduce himself to Josh Johnson in the fourth quarter.
That's a great story of a game. Feel like Austin Davis started one of these.
Yeah, Austin Davis. Cody Kessler.
Cody Kessler actually started a bunch
of
games, though.
He started 8. Connor Shaw.
Connor Shaw's a great one.
I'm totally cheating here. I opened up my Browns bleep sheet because there's so much to...
I thought the Browns bleep sheet was just inside your brain.
No, it's not. It's been so bad, I need a spreadsheet that's 5 pages deep. One page is the coaching, GM, and ownership history. The next page is the quarterback history. The next page is the Pro Bowl selections of draft picks since 1999. The next page are the losing streaks, winning streaks, losing seasons, and winning seasons since 1999. And then because I got tired of trying to count how many starting quarterbacks they've had since 99, it is just the list of starting quarterbacks since 99, and I'm anxiously waiting to fill in the 40th line on that spreadsheet. Come on, Bailey Zappi, or whoever they're going to dumpster dive to start week one next year.
Well, I would bet that number 40 is going to be this Saturday, number 41 is going to be week one next year.
In all seriousness, does it matter? It doesn't.
No, I don't think it does. I'm with you.
The Ravens are going to curb stomp the Browns on Saturday.
Well, and that's what everyone wants. Matter. That is what everyone wants in this game. The Ravens have something to play for. The Browns have something to play for, too. It's losing. It's draft pick.
The first pick in the draft. Come on, Patriots. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You got another win in you. I believe in you.
We will see if they do. I have my doubts. But what Ohio State did yesterday was good enough for yesterday, but is it good enough for you after a loss to Michigan? We'll discuss that next.